Hi, welcome to WizSchool once again. We are on chapter 3 of Introduction to Insurance and Risk Management. In the first chapter, we saw the evolution of insurance from ancient times till date. In the second chapter, we understood the basic concepts and principles of insurance. In this chapter, we are going to understand the business environment of insurance, especially after the government's smart initiative of increasing the foreign direct investments in the insurance sector, and also especially after the COVID-19 impact. The basic objectives of this chapter is to understand various types of insurance institutions, insurance intermediaries, and various aspects of insurance business. Insurance markets are growing worldwide. One basic reason for the growth is sudden emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic. If you want to know the numbers, how far the growth has happened in India, based on the IRDAI annual report 2019-20, life insurance has the largest share, about 75%, then non-life insurance, which is about 25% in India. The insurance penetration has increased from 2.71% in 2001 to 3.76% in 2019. The levels of insurance density has also increased from US$11.5 in 2001 to US$78 in 2019. Currently, there are 68 insurers, which includes both life and non-life. This is as of end of March 2020 operating in India. Out of these 68 insurers, 24 are life insurers, 27 are general insurers, 6 are stand-alone health insurers, and 11 are in reinsurers, including the foreign reinsurers branches and the Lloyd's India. Having understood the overall business and its characteristics of insurance in India, let us understand which regulations actually regulate the insurance business in India. We have two primary regulations in India. The first one is Insurance Act 1938. The second one is Insurance and Regulatory Development Authority Act 1999. Apart from these two primary regulations, Life Insurance Corporation of India is regulated by the Life Insurance Corporation Act 1956, and General Insurance is regulated by General Insurance Business Nationalization Act 1972. Sometime before, I was referring to increase of FDI to 74% in the insurance sector. This has happened because of Insurance Amendment Bill 2021. This bill has paved the way to increase the flow of foreign investments in the insurance sector from 49% to 74%. This is indeed a smart initiative by the government. And why do we call this a smart initiative? Because it will help the insurers to raise additional funds for expanding the existing infrastructure, reaching more prospects, and increasing the insurance penetration and density in India. What happens more than the increase in penetration and density? India has already witnessed a rise in insurance business in both life and non-life business with the COVID-19 pandemic impact. There is a larger scope and potential for growth and development of insurance sector in India because insurance penetration in India is not as large as that existing in the European and the American countries. Automatically, the other side of the meaning is there's lots of potential for penetration in India. With this background, the insurance industry is going to blossom with the existing structure of insurance organization, insurance intermediaries, various aspects of insurance business, and above all the increase in the foreign direct investments. Now let us know something more about IRDA, Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, which is the sole regulator of insurance business in India. IRDA was established on the basis of IRDA Act 1999, and IRDA Act 1999 was enacted to provide for establishment of IRDA as well as to protect the interest of holders of insurance policies, to regulate, promote and ensure orderly growth of insurance industry, and for the matters connected therewith or incidental thereto. IRDA has been established in 1999, and it is established as an autonomous apex statutory body to regulate, supervise and develop, which regulates and develops the insurance industry in India. So there was no regulator for insurance industry before 1999, and that was the basic reason, based on the recommendations of R.N. Malhotra committee, IRDA was established for not only regulating but also for supervising and developing the insurance industry in India. We have seen the mission statement of IRDA to protect interest and secure fair treatment of policyholders, to bring about the speedy and orderly growth of insurance industry, to set, promote, monitor and enforce high standards of integrity, to ensure speedy settlement of genuine claims, to promote fairness, transparency and orderly conduct in financial markets, to take actions against inadequate standards, to promote fairness, transparency and orderly conduct in the financial markets, to take actions where such standards are inadequate or ineffectively enforced, to bring about optimum amount of self-regulation in day-to-day working of the industry. So lots of such mission statements are prepared for the growth of insurance industry in India. Likewise, IRDA has various duties and functions to perform for regulating, promoting and ensuring orderly growth of insurance business, subject to provisions of any other provisions of acts or law for the time being in force. Let us see these functions and powers of IRDA. The first function, very important, is to issue to the applicant certificate of registration, protection of interest of policyholders, specifying requisite qualifications for the brokers, agents, surveyors, even third party administrators, specifying the code of conduct for surveyors and loss assessors, promoting efficiency in conduct of insurance business, promoting and regulating professional organizations connected with insurance and reinsurance business, levying fees and other charges on insurance, calling for information, control and regulation of rates, specifying the form and manner in which books of accounts shall be maintained, regulating investment of funds, regulating maintenance of margin of solvency. We have seen these powers functions in the previous chapter also. Some more functions: adjudication of disputes, supervising the functions of tariff advisory committee, specifying the percentage of premium income, specifying percentage of life insurance business, as well as exercising such other powers as may be prescribed based on the need and requirements of the insurance industry. Now, as we have seen, any insurance company who wants to start insurance business have to get a certificate of registration from IRDA. IRDA, Registration of Indian Insurance Companies Regulation 2000, prescribes that applicant desiring to carry on insurance business in India should make an application to IRDA. And IRDA, after getting satisfied with the information provided by the applicant and fulfillment of conditions by the applicant, may grant a certificate of registration to commence insurance business with specified conditions. So IRDA is the sole authority to decide whether a certificate of registration has to be issued for any insurance company or not. Section 3 of Insurance Act 1938 clearly specifies that no person shall carry on any class of insurance business in India or continue to carry on any such business unless he has obtained a certificate of registration from IRDA. So, both IRDA Act as well as Insurance Act clearly mention that certificate of registration has to be obtained from IRDA for initiating any insurance business in India. Now, let us understand what are the different classes of business of insurance in India. We can categorize them into four: life insurance business, general insurance business, health insurance business, as well as reinsurance business. We will see more about this in our next chapters. Next important aspect of regulation is all insurance companies are required to file an application in a standard format with IRDA for introducing new insurance product, to make changes in the existing products, to withdraw an existing product and justify the premium rates, policy terms and conditions to be offered. So IRDA has a careful watch on insurance companies with this important aspects of insurance business. Insurers are required to take one-time approval from IRDA for all the categories of insurance products. IRDA play a big role to ensure that pricing and terms and conditions offered by the insurer are appropriate and fair, and this is where IRDA plays a very important role in protecting the interests of the policy holders. Now, once you understand the role of IRDA, the powers and functions, the next important entity that plays a very important role in the growth of insurance industry are the actuaries. And when we talk about actuaries, they have to be specific entities who are qualified enough, again, who have certificate issued by IRDA to do actuary activities. Actuaries have a very important role in insurance business, especially in determination of premium rates, study of mortality table, construction of mortality tables, laying down standards for underwriting, calculation the effects of uncertain events, especially like COVID pandemic, and also for designing appropriate insurance products with the right balance between the production of insured interest and solvency of insurance company. So in short, actuaries can be considered as the doctors of insurance business, because these are the specialist people who suggest and recommend right from premium rates to mortality tables to various underwriting processes to the insurance company, and insurance company are brought on the right path by the suggestions of the actuaries. And it has been mandated by IRDA that every insurance company registered with IRDA to carry on life insurance business must appoint a qualified actuary as per the IRDA guidelines. So IRDA also specifies the qualifications, the trainings and other requirements for appointing an actuary, and insurance company has no choice but to appoint an actuary especially for life insurance business. In general insurance business also, actuaries are consulted in matters related to rating and technical matters. Now let us understand about the distribution channels. Gone are the days when insurance policy was sold only by the agent. Now one can directly go on the website of insurance company and directly buy the insurance policy without any actually intermediation of an agent. The distribution channel or insurance sectors are regulated by Insurance Act 1938, but there is a sea change of the type of distribution channels that are available before nationalization, after nationalization of insurance business, and more specifically after privatization of insurance business in 2000. After nationalization of insurance business, insurance product is being sold either through agent or directly by the company. However, after privatization of insurance business in 2000, the distribution channel has been expanded, creating additional sales channels and insurance intermediaries through corporate agents, brokers, and even online portals. Let us understand each one of these industries step by step, starting with insurance agent. Who is an insurance agent? An insurance agent is appointed by an insurer for the purpose of soliciting or procuring insurance business, including business related to continuance like renewal, revival of policy, etc. An insurance business agent can be an individual agent or a corporate agent. When we say corporate, it simply means company selling insurance policy. Obviously, when it's an individual agent, any individual selling insurance business policies becomes an individual agent. However, there can be also a composite insurance agent. A composite insurance agent can be appointed by two or more insurers with the condition that he or she shall not act as an insurer agent for more than one life insurance, one general insurance, one health insurance, and one each of the monoline insurance. So a composite insurance agent can sell insurance of different variety. It can be life, it can be general, and it can be also health. If we consider an agent, he can sell a policy of one insurance company. However, we are having brokers who can sell insurance policies of different insurance company. An insurance broker can be a direct broker, a reinsurance broker, or a composite broker. Direct brokers are registered by IRDA to solicit and arrange insurance business for its clients with insurers for remuneration and fee. An insurance broker may represent more than one insurance company. That is what is the advantage of becoming a broker. The Insurance Act 1938 applies to all types of insurance business. Example, life insurance, fire insurance, marine insurance, etc., etc., done by the companies that are incorporated in India. A license issued under Section 42 of Insurance Act 1938 shall entitle the holder to act as an insurance agent for any insurer. So, license is issued under Section 42 of Insurance Act 1938. If at all a person is appointed as an agent, he has to fulfill certain criteria. The first criteria is he can work for one life insurer, one general insurer, one health insurer, and one each of monoline insurer. However, before getting appointed, such applicant has to pass an insurance agency examination. In the subjects of his agency can be life insurance, general insurance, health insurance, and this examination is based on the syllabus prescribed by IRDA. Only when he passes an exam, the such exam, he would be eligible for appointment as an insurance agent. The applicant so appointed as an insurance agent will be provided an identity card by the insurer, which shall identify the agent with the insurer for who is acting as an agent. And such an agent has to actually show this identity card to the prospects, identifying himself as the agent of that insurer, so that transparency is established when he is actually soliciting or procuring insurance business. An insurance agent also has to comply and follow a code of conduct. Once again, this code of conduct has been made by IRDA. Every insurance agent shall be adhering to code of conduct, such as identifying himself as well as the insurance company of whom he is an agent. He should show the identity card to the prospect and also disclose agency appointment letter to the prospect on demand. So he should not just go and solicit or procure business. He has to identify himself as well as the company. Only then the transaction could be done in the form of an agent of the insurance company. Every insurance agent shall adhere to disseminating the requisite information in the form of insurance products which is going to sell, and take into account the needs of the prospects, because we often receive complaints from the policyholder that insurance agent has sold a policy which he gets maximum commission rather than on the needs of the prospect. This is where we call the policy throwing through the throat of the policyholder. It should be on the basis of need of the prospect rather than just selling it for getting a higher commission. The insurance agent should also disclose the scales of commission in respect of the insurance product offered for sale, so that the customer would be aware whether the insurance agent is just selling the policy for getting the highest commission or it's a reasonable policy for the prospect. The insurance agent should indicate a premium to be charged by the insurer for the insurance product offered for sale and dispassionately advise the policyholder on the product of all insurance which is representing and a product best suited to the specific needs of the prospect. The insurance agent should also explain to the prospect the nature of information required in the proposal form by the insurer and also the importance of disclosure. We have already seen the principle of utmost good faith, the uberi mit fidei, where it becomes the duty, obligation of the insured to disclose all the material information, and this is where the insurance agent to guide the prospect for disclosing all information and not to hide any information which can amount to ascertaining of risk. The insurance agent to bring to the notice of the insurer any adverse habits, because this can be one of the moral hazard or income inconsistency of the prospect, and any material fact that may adversely affect the underwriting decision. The insurance agent should also inform promptly the prospect about the acceptance or rejection of the proposal by the insurer. Some more code of conducts, like obtaining requisite documents at the time of filling of proposal form and other documents subsequently asked for the insurer for completion of proposal, rendering necessary assistance to the policyholders, guiding them in filling the form, advising every individual policyholder to effect nomination, because nomination is very important, especially when death claims arise, or assignment or change of address or exercise of options, and all those things which will be useful for servicing a policy should be guided by the insurance agent. But there are certain do nots also for insurance agent. Like, insurance agent should not solicit or procure insurance business without holding a valid license. He should not induce a prospect to omit any material information in the proposal form. He should not induce the prospect to submit wrong information in the proposal form or documents submitted to the insurer for acceptance of the proposal. He should not behave in the discourteous manner with the prospect. He should not interfere with any proposal introduced by another agent. He should not offer different rates, advantages, terms and conditions other than those offered by his insurer. So just like the do's are there, there are also don'ts for an insurance agent. Insurance agent should not demand or receive a share of proceeds from the beneficiary under an insurance contract. He should not force a policyholder to terminate an existing policy and to effect a new proposal from him within three years from the date of such termination. Such churning methods are not allowed. Apply for fresh license to act as an insurance agent office if his license was earlier cancelled by the designated person and a period of 5 years has not elapsed, so he has to wait for the 5 years as a cooling period. Should not become or remain a director of any insurance company. If there are any violations, then there are penalties also prescribed by IRD. If there is a violation of the IRD provisions by an insurance agent, he or she shall be liable to a penalty which may extend to 10,000 rupees. If there is a violation of IRD provisions by the insurance company, then such insurance company shall be liable to penalty which can extend to 1 crore rupees. So this monetized penalty has been clearly established for both the insurance agent as well as the insurance company. Having seen what insurance agents are, like we have already seen, when such insurance business is done by the companies, we call it as corporate agents. Now let us look at some more details about corporate agents. IRDAI's regulations on registration of corporate agents permits certain entities to obtain certificate of registration to solicit, procure and service insurance business. Corporate agents can continue to engage in their existing business activities and also to sell insurance products. In fact, insurance products are cross-sold by specially financial services. When a banking company sells life insurance product along with a banking product, such type of business is popularly known as bank assurance. A corporate agent may apply for arrangements with a maximum of 3 life, 3 general and 3 health, unlike 1 life, 1 general and 1 health for an individual agent. The corporate agent certificate of registration again is issued by RDA and it shall be valid for a period of 3 years. Who can become a corporate agent? This is also specified. Any company formed under Companies Act 2013 can become a corporate agent. Likewise, limited liability partnership formed under Limited Liability Partnership Act 2008, cooperative societies registered under the Cooperative Societies Act 1912, banking companies defined under Banking Regulation Act 1949, regional rural banks established under Section 3 of RRB Act 1976, all these entities are permitted to get certificate of registration as corporate agents from the IRDA. Some more entities can become as corporate agents, such as non-governmental organization or a micro lending finance organization covered under the Cooperative Societies Act 1912. A corporate agent registered or licensed by any other regulatory body in the financial sector has to obtain no objection certificate from the respective bodies. The corporate agent shall be responsible for all the acts and omissions of its principal officer, specified person, other employees, including violation of code of conduct. So that is the responsibility aspect. Just because some employee has done a mistake, the corporate agent cannot say he is responsible. He would be responsible for all the acts as well as omissions of its officers, employees, and any person he has authorized to do the insurance business. After seeing the agents, individual agents, as well as the corporate agents, now let us understand more details about the insurance brokers. We have already seen an insurance broker can be a direct broker, insurance broker, composite broker. Direct brokers are registered by IRDA to solicit and arrange insurance business for its clients with insurers for remuneration and or a fee. The best part of the insurance broker is an insurance broker may represent more than one insurance company. Insurance brokers are licensed by IRDA to give policies for any insurance company. Insurance brokers can provide expert advice on the insurance policies by different insurers suitable to the customers. Since they are permitted to sell insurance policies of different insurance companies, they can take the interests of the policyholders and suggest them the best insurance policy of a particular insurance company which fits in the risk appetite as well as the requirements of the prospect. The insurer whose policy the insured chooses pays a brokerage to the broker. So that's how the broker gets the benefit out of it. A certificate of registration, again issued by IRDA to the insurance broker, is valid for a period of 3 years. Now, once we have understood the individual agents, the corporate agents, as well as the brokers, the selling aspects is done as far as the distribution of insurance policies is concerned. Now, there are certain intermediaries which are required for dealing with the claims, and one amongst them is the surveyors. Surveyors and loss assessors are service providers, especially to general insurance company. Whenever a loss is reported by the policyholder, these surveyors carry out claim surveys and estimate a quantum of loss and give their suggestion to the insurance company for settling the claim. Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessors Amendment Regulation 2020 has important provisions to guide insurance surveyors and loss assessors for rendering services to the policyholders as well as the general insurance industry in an efficient and professional manner. So surveyors are also guided and controlled by this important piece of legislation by IRDA. Especially Section 64 UM of Insurance Act 1938 has laid down the qualifications requirement for grant of license to perform the role of insurance service and loss assessors, which means anyone cannot become, only those qualified can become surveyors and loss assessors. Surveyors and loss assessors also have to pass an exam based on the syllabus prescribed by IRDA, and after submission of appropriate documents, IRDA, on being satisfied, can grant license to the surveyors and loss assessors. Like surveyors and loss assessors, we have another intermediary which are very useful for settling claims of insurance, and these are the third party administrators, popularly known as the TPAs. A third party administrator means a company registered with IRDA and engaged by an insurer for a fee or especially for providing health services. A third party administrator processes claims for both retail and corporate policies and acts as a service provider to insurance companies for processing the health insurance claims and for offering facilities like cash, like settlement of claims. Carefully to be noted here is a TPA processes both retail and corporate policies. Second point to be noted here, they process health insurance policies. Third point to be noted here is they offer cashless settlement, which means the patient, the policyholder who becomes a patient, don't have to pay the medical expenses from his pocket. But once proper procedure is followed, the claim will be settled directly by the TPAs on behalf of the insurer. The policyholder has an option to choose a TPA of their choice, and if they don't choose, then the insurer will assign a TPA for settling claim of the policyholder. After surveyors and loss assessors, after studying the what we saw in the previous slide was the TPA, and now yet another very important intermediary in the modern times, we call them as the web aggregators. Web aggregators maintain a website for providing interface to the insurance prospects for price comparison and information of products of different insurers. We often hear examples of policybazaar.com. They are an example of a web aggregator. They maintain whatever different information about different insurers. Insurance prospects can get information of various insurers and the products at one place. They can compare, they can decide which product suits their needs. IRDA, Insurance Web Aggregators Regulation 2017, provides regulations and guidelines to supervise and monitor the web aggregators as an insurance intermediary. So, no doubt this web aggregator requires a proper technology platform, but they also need to follow certain code of conduct prescribed by IRDA in this regulation, so that finally the prospects and whoever reads such information are benefited without any bias. What type of activities are generally done by these web aggregators? Number one, display of product comparison on its website. Number two, sending leads to the insurers, because whoever visitor visits the website, the footprints are transferred from the websites to the insurance company, and this becomes a lead. They also do online insurance sales. Sale of insurance policy through telemarketing is also done. And whatever conversion that happens, whatever leads that are sent, the insurance company compensates them based on the agreement made between them for compensation. The insurance web aggregators are entitled to earn remuneration from the converted leads into insurance sales. We have already seen insurance repositories in the first chapter. Now I am going to give you actual repositories which have been permitted by IRDA to operate. Insurance repository is an entity that maintains database insurance policy in electronic form on behalf of insurers. Every insurance repository is required to have a certificate of registration, so without which they cannot operate as registration. That's what I said. We have already five of them who have got certificate of registration from IRDA. Insurance repository enables a policyholder to hold his policy in electronic form rather than bearing the risk of actually losing it, storing it, and maintaining the policy in the physical form. Holding the policy in the electronic form provides various advantages to the policyholders, like undertaking changes, modifications, revisions, as well as high level of accuracy can be established when you have the documents in the electronic form. When I said repositories have to take permission or take certificate of registration from IRDA, IRDA has granted certificate of registration to five entities. These are NSDL Database Management Limited, Central Insurance Repository Limited, SHCR Projects Limited, Carvi Insurance Repository Limited, CAMS Repository Service Limited. The policyholder has to open an insurance account with these entities who have been granted certificate of registration by IRDA, and this function will serve a lot of good things for the policyholder to have his policies in the electronic form. Thank you.